Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pro's number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.
Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world.
How you doing? This is Samuel Tolley with Trusting the Truth. We are quickly approaching the election between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And in this episode of Trusting the Truth, I want to talk about an article I read from a fellow named Joshua Klein of Breitbart. I want to share this article with you because this article is very important. Today's show was entitled Evan Knows. And this is some really interesting stuff. I just would hope the Democrats would watch this. And if you have a Democrat friend that it isn't so locked in that they're willing to listen to information, share this article, have them go on Breitbart and look at it. The article is entitled Exclusive Ex-Democrat Fundraiser Reveals How Out-of-Touch Donors Took Over Party, Coronated Kamala Abandoning Working Class. I have so many friends that still believe that the Democrat Party is a party of the working class, but they don't have any idea what they're dealing with. And unfortunately, they don't research, they don't investigate, and they just go with the propaganda. So let's see what Evan found out. Big donors have taken over the Democrat Party, which has sidelined its democratic process and become completely out of touch with the needs of the working class, which they have now lost, according to former Democrat campaign operative and fundraiser Evan Barker. You know, I noticed this as soon as Joe quit. They didn't have a small convention. They didn't do anything to give the people an opportunity to pick someone new. They just put Kamala in there. And I was saying, they keep constantly saying that Donald Trump is going to destroy democracy. And what did they do? They went completely against any democratic process by just installing this woman in there. The woman who was the vice president of the president that brought us to this lousy economy we have right now. Let's continue. Barker's disillusionment deepened during the recent DNC convention, which she described as a giant corporate infomercial, where she witnessed big money influence overshadowing the party's democratic process with the coronation of Kamala Harris at the behest of elite donors. Kamala's commercials right now is talking about Donald Trump just cares about himself, and Donald Trump is going to give tax breaks to the wealthy, but he doesn't care about that. And Kamala's going to do all this for the little man, which, of course, if she was, she could have started before January 20th. In an exclusive interview with Breitbart News, Barker described how her lifelong loyalty to the Democrat Party shifted to growing disenchantment and eventual regret for her involvement with Soros-funded campaigns, citing the 2024 DNC convention as a turning point. George Soros has been the root of many a disruptive situation in this country for years. If you're a Democrat, if you can pull yourself away from CNN and MSNBC and all these left-wing sites and do some research, you might be surprised what you find out about George. After leaving the Democrat gathering, she posted a video expressing her disillusionment with the party shift away from working class values, saying she wanted nothing to do with it at that point. The clip went viral overnight, amassing millions of views, as she insisted she must have struck a nerve. Early political involvement. Barker began her career at 17, motivated by a working class background and firsthand experience with healthcare struggles. Starting as an alternate delegate for Hillary Clinton, she switched to supporting Barack Obama in 2008 primary. After stints organizing for Democrats, including Clinton's 2016 campaign, which she found inauthentic. Interesting. She was working for Clinton, and she found it to be inauthentic, which means she thought it was a fraud. It was a joke. She became a top fundraiser for the party and worked nationally for progressive candidates. All in all, I probably raised at least $50 million for Democrats, she says. You know, I think they're claiming that it's going to cost the Democrat Party $1 billion this year for Kamala Harris. That small lady is Evan. She described eventually getting re-energized to support the Democrat Party after Donald Trump's election. However, she eventually became disillusioned with both the party's centrist figures and later the progressive candidate she initially championed. Wow. Why was she disillusioned? Folk that she championed and raising $50 million to support. When I was working for one fundraising firm, I helped a lot of progressive candidates. Some were squad members. You know, these radical, extreme, either black or Arab members of Congress called themselves a squad. But also squad-like candidates, believing they were the answer to the more corporate centrist Democrats, she said. But then I soon became very disillusioned with them, too. After the summer of 2020, you know, the summer of love, the George Floyd killing, and then, you know, tearing up the country. When I saw how they were all overtaken by identity politics, wokeness, and DEI. And that was honestly a huge part of shedding my Democratic identity, she added. The donor class coordination of Kamala. The turning point, according to Barker, was this year's Democrat National Convention. I was truly hoping to see a contested convention, she said, referring to the process where candidates presented platforms directly to voters for a final selection. Instead, she saw what she described as a coronation for Kamala Harris with substantial donor influence behind her candidacy. I really wanted to see a bunch of different people get on stage, just be forced to say what they stand for, what their vision was for the party, and then have people vote on that, she said. I thought that could have been a really incredible moment for them. You know, I think that could have been an incredible moment for the Democrats. I don't think unless you were willing to get away from child sacrifice, abortion on demand up until birth, if you were willing to step away and say, you know, I'm not for child mutilation, you know, cutting off little girls' breasts or the penises of young boys. I'm not for any of that stuff. Or, you know, I'm not for having men and girls' locker rooms or men and women's sports. That would have been a really incredible moment. If you could have put up a Democrat with those kind of values, you might have been able to sway some people, but they're all lockstep. I haven't seen a Democrat. I can't think of the guy's name. I think it was Ziegler or something. That's been firm in a certain moral position. Anytime I've seen Democrats recently that held a moral high ground, they have to leave the party. Matter of fact, they had this, Democrat Party chairman some years back. I can't remember the guy's name. I think he was Hispanic. And if I'm not mistaken, he was saying something to the fact that you have to support abortion if you want to get any money out of our committee. Anyway, the donor class. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Okay, let me change the page and move on. Instead, she explained, they did exactly what they always do. Now, this is a Democrat operative. This is not a Republican talking about a Democrat operative. This was a Democrat operative. She said they did exactly what they always do. Just like they did to Bernie multiple times, by not even allowing a primary this year and simply coordinating Kamala Harris. Barker voiced frustration with what she saw as the party's contradiction between its rhetoric and action. Now, if you remember, they really wasn't even having primaries for Joe. They set the thing up to go all the way across the board. It was just a couple of people might have said something, but or a couple of states had votes, but they didn't have Joe fighting for it at all. It's just so laughable to see so much hypocrisy there after all I've heard from Democrats for the past few years is that democracy is on the ballot and how Trump is supposedly trying to end it, she said. So why aren't you giving us any real reflection of democracy here, she questioned. You're not giving people any choice. She highlighted a recent report that prominent donors such as Laurel Power Jobs circulated polling data aimed at persuading other high-profile donors of Harris's stability, effectively sidelining other candidates. Clearly, there was a whole operation behind the scenes, she said. This would not have happened, in my opinion, without donor pressure. There's no way. Barker further criticized the lack of political discussion at the convention, labeling it a corporate infomercial disconnected from the struggles of the working class. Americans, noting that the Democrats have completely abandoned working class people like her family. Look at this. She says, now I know she's pissed off, all right? But I think that there should be, or she should be given a little credibility. After all, she raised $50 million for Democrats. Working and fundraising, it was a lot to go up to the DNC and just see the way that the donor suites were intermingled with the corporate media suites. And it just felt so gross, she stated. I felt like I was in a giant corporate infomercial with the most elite and out-of-touch people in the world. That reminds me how they bring out Spike Lee and Shannon Sharp and all these elite black people, you know, and they try to Magic Johnson and, of course, the high priest himself, Barack Obama, trying to tell black men to get in line and vote for Kamala. These people, although they may share the pigmentation, they're not in the same world that I'm in. And none of these people pay our bills. And you know, what really blows my mind, is so-called celebrity endorsements. That I'm supposed to jump up and down and vote the way some actor or athlete says I'm supposed to vote. And like they're special people. And for the life of me, most people just don't get the fact that, think about it, these are people who make a living by us paying to do their, by us paying to see them work. I mean, that's it. That's how they make their living. So we pay money to watch them work. And we're supposed to, you know, trust them for political advice? Forget it. Where was I? I just felt disgusted there hearing the most generic platitudes that are empty, that mean nothing, like joy and brat. And it just made me so upset, she added, noting that she actually left the DNC a day early and didn't even care at that point to hear Harris speak, rejecting an offer to meet with the vice president. The former Democrat fundraiser expressed frustration with the Democrat Party's tone-deaf reliance on fear-based messaging, claiming it focused on identity politics and rhetorical comparisons by calling Trump Hitler rather than on concrete economic issues such as tariffs, taxes, and Social Security. That also blows my mind, the power of the media. Or shall I say, the ignorance of the constituency. People that will listen to this nonsense and act like they never experienced 4 years under Trump's presidency already. You know, they'll go, you know, they'll sing the praises of the Democrat Party and say, how dare you follow someone that's been convicted of 34 felonies based on one charge that was actually a misdemeanor federal charge that the federal government didn't even take up because they thought it was garbage. And it's been bootstrapped into 34 felonies because it was 34 checks paying this stupid lawyer, and it had nothing to do with the presidency, and it was a bogus case from day one. And I got people sitting there telling me how they just don't understand why I would follow somebody with this. But I'm supposed to follow a woman that's for letting little girls get their breasts cut off and their boys get their penises chopped off and then ripping babies out of the womb or even letting them die after they get born. Follow a woman who was part of an administration that made my gas go through the roof and every other thing that I buy go through the roof. And she's going to promise she's going to make life better. And then I get some black people tell me, how am I going to stand in the way of the first black woman becoming president? This black woman who campaigned as being the first Indian woman, not Native American, but from Indian heritage overseas, to be attorney general, all of a sudden became black. Whether she's black, Indian, or just a woman, it doesn't make any difference. This is the same person that was in charge of the border that led millions of people across this country. And now she's talking about putting up a wall. And I'm supposed to follow her. Or I'm supposed to be, I don't know, an ingrate or something because I won't. She argues that such tactics alienate working class voters who are more concerned with material things than will impact people's lives. Trump has the working class now, a multiracial working class. And that's true. When I went to Trump rallies, I went to a couple of Trump rallies. Everybody, every ethnic group was there. This nonsense about you know, unless you got Jews that are Nazis, black folks that are Nazis, Hispanics that were Nazis, Asians that were Nazis, everybody of every ethnic origin was there at both rallies. It's just the lying, whorish media and the Democrat Party and the Hollywood cesspool that's feeding people this garbage, and they're not taking the time to find out if they're being lied to. And then they'll talk to people like me and say that I'm a traitor. And Democrats should be panicking, she said. They should be shifting, or that's not the word she used, and I'm not going to say the word. Take out the F and you'll get it. Themselves, that they've lost the support of working people. Even Bernie recently pointed out that you can't win without the working class, but instead they're catering to donors and recycling the same rhetoric, like calling Trump Hitler or warning about the end of democracy, issues far removed from the priorities of people struggling just to pay their bills. She explained, noting that as a former Democrat, it's infuriating to see the party so out of touch. Hypocrisy of Big Money in Politics is the next subtitle. Highlighting her experience with donor calls, Barker alleged that the Democratic Party only criticizes dark money when they don't benefit from it. They're really only against money in politics when it's not being spent for them, she said. That's the cold, hard truth. Yeah, they all about the money. She recounted how candidates would criticize figures like Tesla CEO Elon Musk for donating to Republican causes while simultaneously courting donations from billionaires such as Alexander Soros, which she claims led to a crack in her loyalty to the party. It's just such a clear hypocrisy. This was the first crack for me working in fundraising and seeing this hypocrisy play out constantly on a daily basis. And almost every single donor. What? Hold on a second. We had a problem. Let me go back. daily basis. Okay. And almost every single donor call I would do with candidates, she said, pointing out that while Tim Walz criticized Musk for trying to buy the election, he's also seen cozying up to George Soros' son at his New York mansion around the time of the DNC events. What a freaking sanctimonious hypocrite, she said of Walz. I literally cannot think of anything more hypocritical. Slamming Harris and Walz as self-righteous and super hypocritical on accepting big and dark money and politics while condemning it in others, she suggested that Republicans, especially those like Senator Josh Hawley, who avoid corporate funds, could be good messengers on the issue. So the hypocrisy is getting to her. This woman still has a sense of integrity. And so it's bothering her to watch these Democrats go out there and sing one tune while they're living another one. Democrats only like to decry money in politics when the money isn't being spent on them, she reiterated. It's the ultimate hypocrisy. It's just how they are. It's their MO. Wow. Barker also shared regret over her support of progressive district attorney campaigns funded by major donors, alleging that criminal justice policies backed by certain left-wing donors were out of touch and ultimately harmful to minority communities. White, guilted, upper-class liberals in the Democratic Party think decriminalizing everything is the answer. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it actually hurts poor blacks and brown communities the most, she said. They're left to deal with the fallout while rich liberal donors, including George and Alexander Soros, remain untouched by these policies as they stay in their ivory towers. You know, when they were talking about defunding the police, I said, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. I said, the only person this is going to hurt is the very people they claim is going to help. The poor. Police don't generally live in poor communities. These rich folks definitely don't live in poor communities. You know, these people have their armed guards and their gated communities and all this stuff. And you get particularly get a place like California where you can't even carry a firearm unless you have a permit. It hurts the poor when there's less police. And it's nonsense about calling 911. Whatever's going to happen probably already happened before then. These communities actually favor more police, not less, she added, noting this whole approach has only made the situation more racist and worse for communities and people of color. Citing personal experiences with crime in San Francisco, she argued that policies decriminalizing petty theft up to certain amounts, and in California's cases like $995, have worsened conditions in underserved neighborhoods. If you're not aware of what was going on, they made it so, like, if you stole less than $1,000, the police won't even come. People got so brazen, they'd go in stores and just load up trash bags with clothes and things. Some people would even walk around with a calculator, and they would just walk out. And then there was also some cases where in some of these markets or shopping centers, that if an employee tried to stop them, they'd get fired for trying to help, because their sensitivity, their moral compass wouldn't allow them just to watch this nonsense. And so what happened? Many of these places start closing down. People start losing jobs. San Francisco lost lots of businesses behind this nonsense. But then they're still crazy. They let people walk around naked, poop on the sidewalks, shoot up drugs all over the place. They even offer a map, a poop map, so you can know where, or hopefully not, to walk and step in it. Okay. I've been living in San Francisco for the past year, unfortunately, and my car's been broken into 3 times, she said. I see it at times, and it's made me realize, oh my God, I can't believe I support the groups that helped get former San Francisco DA Chelsea Bowden elected. I really regret it, she admitted. And now I'm trying to write those things. In fact, I've even heard where in San Francisco and Oakland area, many times people leave their trunks open, their windows, their doors unlocked, so thieves can look in there and see if there's anything in there because they're tired of paying for new glass. People are just breaking in their stuff all the time. So, you know, so thieves can see that they didn't leave anything in there. Now, if they start stealing spears and jacks, you're going to have an issue. Barker criticized Harris as lacking consistent principles, suggesting she says whatever she needs to say at the time to win. Isn't that like now? Where she's for the border, she's not for universal health care, she's just flip-flopping all over the place to try to win. She argues that since the vice president doesn't have the conviction typical of more steadfast progressives like Bernie Sanders, I don't think she has real values. Obviously, she said really progressive things, but I think she's a complete empty vessel. She's not like Bernie's progressives that has always been consistent and said the same thing, she stated. Certain amounts have, she literally will say just say anything, the former campaign operative added. She's empty. She doesn't have her own convictions, policies, or ideas. Additionally, she expressed disappointment with Harris's decision to select Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, for outreach to the Rust Belt, suggesting it demonstrated a lack of understanding of cultural differences between regions. Picking Tim Walz was such a huge mistake. It just shows how out of touch they are, she said. You pick a super progressive prosecutor from Berkeley, California, to represent the whole country, and then expect Walz to connect with the Rust Belt. Give me a break. There's a massive cultural gap between Minnesota and places like Ohio and Pennsylvania. As someone from Missouri, I can tell you, Minnesota is way more like California, she added. Barker then noted that a culturally relevant choice like Pennsylvania's Josh Shapiro might have had stronger appeal in swing states. Josh Shapiro would have been a much better choice, she said, but maybe the Democratic Party's too anti-Semitic for a Jewish VP. Well, Shapiro is Jewish. And that would definitely shore up their bona fides as being for Jews, but they claim that the Republicans are against Jews because they said the Madison Square Garden rally that Trump had was a reflection of some neo-Nazi rally that was done in the 30s. Like I said, these people are just bona fide hypocrites to the bone. Okay. I honestly can't think of another reason they'd overlook him. It just doesn't add up, she added. So she thinks Shapiro should have been the man. With the 2024 election approaching, she expressed concern that a potential Kamala Harris presidency would be beholden to the interests of wealthy donors rather than to the voters, saying she would simply be a puppet for the donor class and their interests if she were to be elected. You remember Barack Obama, Hope and Change? All these black folks were so in love and enamored with Obama. Obama was the president for the LGBTQ folks. Didn't do squat to help improve black America whatsoever. And you still have many black Americans that just want Obama. They refuse to say anything about this guy negatively. The guy that got up on a Planned Parenthood rally or platform and said, God bless you, Planned Parenthood, which is total blasphemy. She pointed to recent reports suggesting that influential donors' circles had lobbied aggressively for Harris and argued that her record lacked evidence of core policy convictions, which she never on the stump didn't give us no convictions, except for her values haven't changed. They know Kamala has no backbone. She has no convictions. She has nothing she really believes in, Barker insisted. So I'm sure they will get the job done with her if she's elected 100%. Barker is not alone in her frustration. Audrey McNeil, a 22-year-old former DNC delegate, recently announced she's leaving the Democrat Party. In a video shared on social media, McNeil explained, "In 2020, I was elected at 18 to become one of the youngest delegates, but this year I'm casting my ballot for Donald Trump." Meanwhile, former Representative Tulsi Gabbard, who ran for president as a Democrat in 2020, declared her switch to the Republican Party during a Trump rally in Greensboro, North Carolina last week. The matter comes as Democrats face mounting pressure to reconnect with their working class base and address growing criticism of donor influence overshadowing grassroots priorities ahead of the upcoming election. Recent polling shows that Democrats are struggling to retain support from working class voters across key states, while recent Gallup polling showed more Americans either identify as Republicans or are more in line with the GOP than Democrats, Breitbart reported. Told you. These people don't care about us. If Democrats cared about America and Americans, they'd never allow millions of illegals to come here. They let millions of illegals come here because they want the illegals to be citizens and vote Democrat so they can stay in perpetual power. So, in a national poll, New York Times Seneca released Friday, Trump surged to a 1-point lead over Kamala Harris, 47% to 46% on Sunday's NBC national political correspondent Steve Konosky noted that a series of new polls all show Trump ahead of Harris. So this is Joshua Klein of Breitbart. Let's see, we got anything else here? I think that's the end of the message. Well, what did I tell you? Oops, let's get rid of this real quick. So, even is or was a Democrat, a fundraiser, she got to see the top dogs in action. She got to see the inner workings of what was going on. She understood full well how it works and who those people really care about. And it's not you. Or me. It's the money people. Just like if you notice, they lied like a dog all year long saying Joe's on the top of his game. Joe's this, Joe's that. Until they decided it was time to let Joe go. And then when Joe had his lousy debate and George Clooney wrote his little op-ed, all of a sudden they kicked Joe out. They kicked him out. They didn't have another convention. They didn't say, okay, who's up for the game? They said, no, we're going to take her. And they expect everybody to fall in line. Now Trump's a monster, and we're supposed to take this woman that has helped drag this nation down for the last 4 years. Well, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I was voting for him anyway. And I would hope you vote for him. And I would hope you pay attention to what's going on. And for you Democrats that are just, you know, your panties are all in a bundle because a black man is going to vote for this woman, I just ask you one simple thing. Do your investigation. Do real research. Instead of letting these folks just, you know, move you with identity politics. It's nonsense. The media has been lying to us for years, controlling your thought process. And if you really care about children, You're not going to want them to be around drag queens. You're not going to want them to have puberty blockers. You're not going to want little girls to get their breasts cut off because they think they're a boy. You're not going to want any of this stuff. And if you really care about people, the unborn are the most vulnerable of all people. And if you care about them and you call yourself a Christian, how could you stand for the things that God is against? Think about it. It's Sam Tolley, and I'm out.